The North Sea. As a highway, it's never had much to recommend it, with its off-lying shoals, its lee shores and its fogs. But for me, it has always had a strong flavour of romance. I like to sit quietly on my night watches out there, listening in vain but ever in hope for the creak of oars on some ghostly longship, or for the wild cry of the men hauling herring nets from the great Scottish luggers, or the whisper of the deadly steam drifters which replace them. Even the names of the underwater features hint at mysterious events long past. The Broken Bank, the Silver Pit, Tea Kettle Hole and the Broad Fourteens. On nights when the drifters shot their five-mile nets on the rising moon, men knew their position by dead reckoning, depth and the nature of the bottom brought up by tallow on the deep-sea lead. Goodness knows what they'd make of it all today. Back in 1982, I saw the early oil rigs set the night on fire with their burn-off flares. I don't recall any TSSs then, and even if there'd been any, we'd have been little the wiser, because our navigation still relied on dead reckoning like a fisherman. A couple of days out, our position finding was nowhere near tight enough to be sure of avoiding them, or of doing the right thing if we crossed them. I wouldn't fancy that situation today. As the years have rolled by, regulation of traffic and the proliferation of rigs, platforms and wellheads has changed the scene so utterly that the idea of navigating the narrow seas without electronics is pretty alarming. A couple of weeks back, I made a passage from Kiel to Portsmouth in a modern yacht with full kit. No special problems arose on the early part of the trip down the Elbe and along the Frisian coast. We just steered between the big offshore separation zones and the islands, with the ships going by 5 miles north of us. The traffic that crossed our track, entering and leaving the Jade, the Weser and the Ems, was easily negotiated by traditional methods such as lining up a steaming light with a stanchion to check for collision risk, then keeping well clear if need be. Once out in the North Sea proper, it was a different story. Here, where once the herring rose beneath the stars, a madhouse of TSSs and other man-made obstructions to a sailing boat seemed to be everywhere. We were now ranting along on a broad reach, dodging between North Hinder Junction, literally a roundabout for huge ships heading up for Rotterdam and the next TSS. We would cross one lane as near as we could at right angles, join the next obliquely to hack along it as far as convenient, and so on. We monitored our AIS for problem ships. We checked our position carefully on our plotter screen to make sure that we weren't breaking the rules now and that we weren't about to do so shortly. We called up at least one ship via her MMSI number to suggest she stood on, even though our sails would constrain us to pass close to her. Radar confirmed what the AIS could not when it came to non-AIS fishing boats operating inside separation zones, and twice we had to replan our passage in order to avoid steering into colossal wind farms clearly marked on the chart with no entry signs, despite the propaganda telling us we'll be welcome just to cruise on through. With all this going on, sleep was hard to come by, and all hands became so fascinated by the AIS vectors that if we weren't careful, we'd forget to look out into the night. There, amid the blaze of anchored ships, oil platforms and windmills, we could discern the occasional dim light of a yacht not putting out AIS signals, even to those few vessels with their Category B receivers online. Forget the longships and the drifters. It's all sailors for themselves out there now. I'm not sure how I'd fancy it with only compass, log, and lead line.